Cruz is an idiot. So, I get this smoke machine as a gift.
You know it! Yeah!
Get out of here. Smoke machine. Awesome. Like, just the coolest thing I could have ever asked for. And, well, gotta try it out. Gotta fuck some shit up. And so, just have it, just wailing on it in the house. It's got a remote. Boop, 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 boop. Just throwing out smoke, and it's got lights and everything like that. And then I know how this is going to sound. The smoke alarm starts going off to my surprise. And it won't stop because the house is full of smoke. And I get that a smoke machine should be expected to set off a smoke alarm. But it never even occurred to me. And the house is just hotboxed with all this smoke, and it takes for fucking ever. I got every window open, every door, fans going, and this thing won't shut up, and it's yelling in English and French. And anyways, if you ever try out a smoke machine, do it outside or do it in a place that doesn't have smoke detectors, like Manitoba. Hughes is an idiot.
Ah, first Friday at 10 a.m. and Tuz is an idiot. Yes, I kind of like that segment. I feel like that's a good little segment. You know, instead of a Tuz rant, Tuz is an idiot.
It's right up there with the NDP is not a serious party.
It kind of is. Yeah. Kind of is. Probably most people would lend a little bit more to the NDP is not a serious party at this point in time. Thanks for tuning in, folks, on our first Friday at the new time, 10 a.m. Good morning from, Joe Mama. Joe Mama. And let's have an awesome show. Yeah, absolutely. If
Taylor coming in saying, hey, guys. So, yeah. Hello.
Hello, hello. Tuz, you went quiet on me. I don't know if that's something on your end.
You still hear me?
I can still kind of hear you. You just went from being loud to kind of quiet. That's all.
Oh, I don't know. Does it sound normal?
I think so. I guess to anyone in the live stream, we'd love it if Tuz sounds a little bit quiet, let us know because we'll have him work on that. Welcome to Mashup 102. This is the new time, 10 a.m. on Fridays. To those waiting on the podcast, when it gets, can't hear him worth the shit. It's quiet. Yeah, there's something going on Tuz's side, isn't there? While Tuz figures that out, welcome to Mashup 102. Oh, and then it goes all staticky. Tuz, I know you can hear me. You're sitting in the background. We'll go to me sitting here. Welcome to live streaming, folks. To the podcast listener, this gets aired. We'll put it up as soon as it's done, assuming Tuz figures out his audio. Either way, we're now at the new time, Fridays at 10 a.m., and we're coming in hot this morning. And yeah, everybody commenting, definitely quiet. Tuz, you back. How does your audio sound?
I don't know. How is it?
Way better. Yeah,
I didn't do anything.
You did something. You're blowing my eardrums now. You're blowing my
some chords.
Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Welcome to Mashup 102, where Tuz is an idiot, and we're having some audio problems. We figure we got them fixed now. Coots 2, 790 days. We got to find out a way to, I don't know. I mean, obviously saying it out loud every week, but like we're closing in on 800 days now. This is getting a bit ridiculous. Like, it was ridiculous a long time ago.
A cake with a file in it?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I don't know, man. Like, it's at what point does something like what's that international organization that you'd always saw the ads when you were a kid, that Amnesty International? At what point is some organization like that going to step in and be like, well, the dictatorial overlords in Canada have had these political prisoners and we're trying to advocate for their freedom. We're pretty much at that point where we're going to have Amnesty International trying to get our political prisoners freed, and we're going to have Rod Black and Sarah McLachlan walking around looking at sad-faced Canadian children saying a dollar a day is going to make all the difference for their grocery bills.
It's funny, and it's so sad and disappointing all at the same time. Okay. Mashup 102. Let's fire it off here, twos. Let's roll. Follow your nose. McDonald's restaurants in the Netherlands have debuted a revolutionary way to turn consumers onto their iconic burgers and fries by launching the world's first billboard that smells like their food. This is quoted, this is the first time that a billboard has been used to diffuse the McDonald's scent. Golden Arches reps described in a statement this week about the aromatic advertising initiative. They literally have a billboard where they put fries in it and breathe it out to the people walking around.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I feel like they'd be better off with something that smelled better, but sure, McDonald's, fair enough. It kind of reminds me of that time when OJ killed his girlfriend and or his ex-wife and that guy's that girl's boyfriend, and then just left his DNA all over the crime scene.
That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Okay. Okie dokie. The DNP are not. Damn it! Who screwed up the teleprompter? You know, Ron reads it.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The NDP are not a fiscally competent party. Well, here, we'll start provincial. The UCP emerged from last year with $1 million in the bank. The NDP, meanwhile, entered 2024 having erased their considerable pre-campaign war chest and sitting with a deficit of $624,000. The fact the NDP ended last year in a debt is even more remarkable when you consider that they entered 2023 with $5.5 million in the bank. And another telling sign of the competitive party support is a line item in the Elections Alberta report. The UCP reported $306,000 in membership fees, the NDP only $41,000. And then federally, the NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is currently topping out as the highest spending individual member of parliament in the House of Commons, while Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre ranks at the lowest. Latest figures on the MP expenses were released in late March, and they showed that for the first three quarters of last fiscal year, Singh expensed $533,000, while Poilievre only $143,000. Now, I do want to point out Ottawa to BC, travel, etc., but still.
Yeah, fair. Completely understandable. But the NDP aren't good with money. I don't know if anybody... Is this breaking news that they suck with money? And even while they're trying to drum up support for their new candidates for leadership, they still aren't selling fuck all for memberships. And now they're broke. This is just like that time that OJ Simpson killed his ex-wife and then ran out of money getting Johnny Cochran to defend himself.
Is it going to be an OJ Simpson's Friday? Is that what we're doing here? Okay, update. Jordan Peterson stole our joke. Ontario's publicly funded health insurance plan must pay for a special procedure in Texas for a not, you may remember this story from, what was it, last week? Was it a week before? I can't remember.
The guy was applying to get a penis and a vagina.
He you can't make this up.
And then the only people who would be willing to possibly do that would, of course, be the government.
Okay, Ontario's publicly funded health insurance plan must pay for a special procedure in Texas for a non-binary person seeking gender-affirming care. The province divisional court has ruled the procedure not available in Ontario involves receiving a vagina while keeping a penis. The 3-0. It went 3-0 in Ontario's divisional court. Nobody ruled against this. And the procedure is a vaginoplasty without a penectomy. I can't believe I'm saying these words. Or just for a penile preserving vaginoplasty, a procedure in which a vaginal cavity is surgically created while keeping the penis intact. There you go, folks.
Why do you keep saying vaginal?
I don't know. There you go. Happy Friday. Right. That fire some people.
You really got bogged down in the weeds on this one, Sean. Really, you really went far into the bush.
Okay, sure. There's the Jordan Peterson tweet.
But yeah, and then Jordan Peterson obviously a mashup listener. He says, will no doubt be happy to hear a stunningly addled narcissist will literally be able and willing to fuck himself. I mean, of course, it could just be that that's the very obvious joke to be made at this point. But, you know, it could be, right? But yeah, this guy is going to get fucked the same way that Cato Kalin did when he was driving O.J. Simpson in the white Ford Bronco.
I see you got your nice little sheet there. Okay, this is how we're rolling on 102. I like it. I like it. Trudeau gets Chinese takeout. Okay, this was the big story of the week, I would say, so far at least. Here's from National.
There's still time, but yes.
Yes. National Post. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau offered a lengthy testimony at the public inquiry on foreign interference on Wednesday, during which he answered questions about what he knew or did not know about alleged interference in the 2019-2021 elections. Trudeau told the inquiry he did not receive, and I quote, sufficiently credible information to remove Liberal candidate Han Dong from the 2019 election ballot. And then he went on, Trudeau said in a pre-hearing interview with Inquiry Council that intelligence agents, quote, might not know how nomination processes typically unfold, and that while the buses seemed like a smoking gun for some analysts, they were not for someone who works in a political party. He said that the Liberals won because it had better candidates, ran better campaigns, and because of rhetoric
of China helping them.
Toronto Sun.
I mean, here's where he fire says, away, dudes. Now he's saying, I don't read all the briefings. And yet, during the Emergencies Act hearing, Katie Telford says he reads everything. He reads everything. He reads everything, which we knew was bullshit because the guy probably can't even read in general. Okay. And then now he says, well, no, I don't read everything. And then the other thing is that he said he didn't act on the CSIS report because it didn't contain any recommendations. And during the Emergencies Act, his argument went the other way, where he says it's not up to organizations like CSIS to make recommendations. So, look, you got to pick a lane here, and you've got to, like, I get the fact that he's gotten a huge pass for almost a decade on whiffling one way or the other, depending on what the argument is or who's making the argument, but you've got him testifying about skullduggery and bullshittery, and He says, like, this is literally just a year later. He says, this is how we do things. And then a year later, he says, we do things the exact opposite way. Both ways are conveniently running him in the direction of exoneration, right? This is exactly why the Johnny Cochran was really hesitant to put O.J. Simpson on the stand after O.J. killed his ex-wife.
Tuz needs a backdrop. You need to build yourself a little news desk on your side, I think. Update. MNP covers its tracks. I tell you what, did we break this story? I feel like it started on the Blue Collar Roundtable when Chase Barber came on and blew off the lid on it. Then we brought him on last week, and now it seems to be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right? Okay. You heard it here. I think first, folks, I think I can, I think
either
Chase
way,
told us
either
that.
Way, you're the first guy.
The company, I'm going to read the tweet here about Edison Motors and MMP. The company
so
at the center.
This is from Rob Shaw, who is the guy who wrote the original article about this after it had already been talked about.
The company at the center of allegations over Clean BC grant kickbacks, MNP has started scrubbing its own website, taking down references to how it administered the program and provided consulting services as it faces an audit from the Auditor General. Interesting.
It is interesting. And so here's the thing. If you're dealing with any sort of a government agency that has a website that you think is going to be helpful for making a case to display whatever bullshit they're doing, okay, you get screenshots, you save the HTMLs, you get the evidence in the bag, and you lock it up. Not like what happened at the O.J. Simpson murder trial, where they had contaminated evidence after he killed his ex-wife.
Oh, I don't know why it's so funny, folks. Maybe I'm the only one laughing. I don't know. Is anybody really laughing on the at home or where at work or
anybody?
Wherever you're
anybody from? Remember Norm Macdonald?
You know, what would be cool. I'd be curious. You know, as it's the first time we've been at our new time, 10 a.m. I'm kind of curious. You know, if people want to comment as we go along, I'd be curious where people are listening from.
If they're new,
if it's home,
or
new. Sure. I would love to hear where people are listening from. So place. Like location, like province, city, and then if you're like actually sitting at home or you're like, you know, scapegoating work, that's cool too by us. Okay.
Yeah, we won't tell.
Next headline, too.
Okay, just real quick, Joe Mama says it's hilarious, and Kevin Demon says Norm Macdonald would be
Norm
proud.
Norm Macdonald would be proud.
All right. Okay. Oh, wait, I was looking at the wrong one.
The
NDP comes up again.
Did I? And you spelt it, you're right. The NDP are not a steadfast party.
Yeah.
The federal New Democrats no longer believe a consumer carbon price is necessary to fight climate change, Jagmeet Singh suggested Thursday. Quote, it can't be done by letting working families bear the cost of climate change while big polluters make bigger and bigger profits. This is Singh's speech followed the NDP's decision Wednesday to vote in favor of a non-binding conservative motion demanding Trudeau stage a televised federal provincial summit on the carbon price within 5 weeks. He's also here talking to a reporter. The reporter, what is your plan for the carbon tax? Singh,
we
have a new.
You got to play this.
You want to play? Okay. I'll play it. Here we go.
Carbon price.
Well, what we want to do is we want to lay out our vision, a new Democrat vision for how we tackle the climate crisis. I don't want the burden to fall on working people. So we want to lay out our plan, which addresses the real solutions and using government power to tackle big polluters and that unites working people together.
So for the consumer price specifically, though, do you want to get rid of it? Do you want to pause it? Do you want to stop the hikes? Like, what are you proposing here?
For our full plan, we're going to release that plan and we're going to present that to Canadians. So we don't have our full plan laid out.
So it starts off with, granted, there's a difference between a vision and a plan, but he says our plan is going to be rooted in this. And then they're like, okay, well, what is it? And he's like, well, we don't have it yet. Okay. Now this is the exact same party led by the exact same person who voted for the carbon tax that he's speaking against no less than 3 fucking weeks ago. Okay? So if it's such a bad idea, what changed in the last 3 weeks? Polling data, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Like, just, like, I get it. You know, you thought it was a good fit at the time, and now it's not. Just like O.J. Simpson's leather glove. Okay. We got a bunch. We got New Brunswick, Okotoks grocery shopping, Lake Diefenbaker, Saskatchewan. I'm across that thing once or twice. Tisdale, Saskatchewan, land of rape and honey. Sylvan Lake, home office, working. You guys are a great distraction.
Damn right we are.
I wish you guys had a bit more fish. I'm not too far away. Agree. I don't know where that is. And Calgary.
Keep commenting on where you're listening from, folks. We love it. We love hearing where everybody's listening in from. All right. Forest fire season burning climate credibility. Mm-hmm. So first, Canada's official drought monitor calls the current dry period on parts of the prairies extreme or exceptional. The parched fields and drained reservoirs, characteristics of recent abnormally warm seasons in southern Alberta, may also be a glimpse into the region's climate future, researchers say. Quoted, the modeling that we've done globally with these climate models show that Alberta is one of only 3 major hotspots on the world where we actually have confidence that we're going to have more frequent and more extreme droughts.
Isn't it? Oh, really? More extreme droughts?
Then, you know, the next article says Canada's government, this is BBC, says it's preparing for another explosive wildfire season, for which it's training extra firefighters. And then the next article says, according to Environment and Climate Change Canada, Calgary has received 62 centimeters of snow this past March, surpassing March 1924 which was in second place.
Yeah. So the second most snow ever in the Calgary. Province. And this is the droughts that they keep talking about. You've got the NDP MLA for Banff Kananaskis, literally next to Calgary, saying, oh, we've got record droughts. Motherfucker, go outside every once in a while. Right? These people are ridiculous. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to have record wildfires here, 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 and here. How could we possibly know that ahead of time? They're going to be explosive. These are just really good guesses, folks. I want us to push back on their climate modeling to the point where they're going to be like, well, you know what? Here's how confident we are. Climate change is going to make this particular forest burn down on June 22nd at 6 p.m. I want them to make those predictions.
Here's a tweet.
We all know what it is.
Here's a tweet from Christina Amira Khalil. She said, I experienced my first earthquake in New Jersey. We never get earthquakes. The climate crisis is real. The weirdest experience ever. And then readers added context. New Jersey sits on a fault line. Has nothing to do with climate change.
Also, the planet, the atmosphere, right? I don't think us having chlorofluorocarbons eroding the ozone layer is really going to affect the fucking magma underneath this planet. But maybe that's just me.
I was waiting for OJ Simpson joke and another slap. You got nothing there on?
Sorry. I was just reading up the comments. I got distracted. So the thing about it is that they're anticipating this great drought, quite like the circulatory system of Nicole Brown after she was stabbed to death by OJ Simpson. All right. Emerald Park, I don't even know where's Emerald Park, Saskatchewan?
I don't know. Zippy, where is Emerald Park, Saskatchewan?
All right. And in the meantime, we got driving between Hinton and Edson. Yeah, there's great fault of human nature. And then what? No OJ reference? Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I was waiting. Joe Mama, I was waiting for it too.
Doing a bunch of things all at the same time.
Can't multitask. Partisan says the quiet part out loud. Here we're talking the tweet. Yes, I want to make sure I got this right. Dwayne Bratt. Yes, here's Dwayne Bratt. Do you want me to read the entirety twos? Or are you looking specific?
Just read that first tweet. It really
individual
just a great picture.
Individual faculty and faculty associations in Alberta are raising alarm over proposed new rules on accessing federal research funding, but post-secondary presidents and research directors have been silent. I guess they don't want to fear a clawback on their provincial grants.
Isn't it so weird that when money gets involved and they look at the prospect of losing their funding, they're willing to say or not say exactly what the people providing the funding want them to say or not say. Isn't it funny? Like when you pay someone to have a certain view, they will have that view. And this is Dwayne Bratt, is this NDP apologist pretending to be a political science wonk. And he is probably one of the most partisan people on Twitter, especially amongst people who are pretending to not be partisan. Okay. He's supposed to be Judge Ito in this, and instead he's Johnny Cochran. Right. And you know what? This guy saying, yeah, well, they're going to change what they say according to who gives them funding is exactly what we've been saying about that random co-vindication thing for the past several years.
Yes, we have. I'm waiting for you to tag in OJ. Are you tagging in OJ or not?
I talked about Judge Ito and Johnny Cochran.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, fair enough. All right. Drunken sailors against liberal spending. 59% of respondents said they felt the government was spending too much, with only 18% saying they spending was within an acceptable range, and 8% reporting that the federal liberals were underspending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you go to this chart that Kirk Lubomov put up, you've got 37% of NDP supporters think the Liberals are spending too much money. And only 30% of your voter base thinks you're spending too much money. And 37% of Liberals think you're spending too much money. This is how crazy the Liberals have gotten. Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the Socialist Party, is against the carbon tax. When have you ever seen the NDP go against a tax? And now the NDP think that they're spending too much money. How far off the fucking rails do you have to get before the socialist, economically illiterate idiots say, well, I think you might be spending a little bit too much money there. Oh my God, this chase just keeps going. Just like when OJ was running in the Ford Bronco.
Hillary Clinton killing it on Broadway. Hillary Clinton. I'll pull up the tweet. What the heck? I might as well show. Do you want the audio? Do you want to hear? Do you want people to hear?
I think if anybody in any of the comments has any sort of a breakdown, no, we can't show that on here.
It says breaking. Right. Hillary Clinton releases feminist themed Broadway musical. Suffs.
Okay, play it, scroll somewhere to the middle, and let 5 seconds of it go.
All right, here we go.
Okay, that's good. I would say that if you're going to demand to be heard, you should probably do a better job of your fucking delivery. Okay? I get the fact that Hillary Clinton doesn't have an awesome track record in the past little bit. Okay? But threatening to murder people if they don't sing your shitty song probably isn't a great way to get on Broadway. Okay? The murder jokes write themselves at this point, so I'm going to skip right past it.
And no.
Same energy.
That's funny. I did not expect that. I had not scrolled down on the comments. Hey, oh boy. Yeah. A musical that nobody wants to see. Reverse Heist. A modern art museum in Germany has fired one of its employees after the facility said they added a personal touch to an exhibit, their own art. According to Munich newspaper, not going to say it, the self-proclaimed freelance artist was a 51-year-old who worked in technical services at the Pinakothek der Modern, a modern art museum that holds more than 20,000 pieces, including works by Pablo Picasso, among others, and for a short time, this employee. The employee was not named in the local report, but hung up a painting measuring 2 feet by 4 feet, a spokesperson for the museum told Zit. They weren't sure how long the painting was up, but they believe it was up for not very long. The employee had drilled 2 holes into an empty hallway to hang the painting, which the police are investigating for the offense of property damage. Citing police, the newspaper said the man had hoped hanging the art there would be his breakthrough to fame.
As it turns out, it was. I think this is great. You know, we always talk about all these heists where there's all this planning on how to get in and escape with the valuables, whether they're, you know, jewelry at a truck stop or a picture of Winston Churchill or a truck full of bobbleheads. And here you've got a guy who's going to do a reverse heist where he's going to sneak in his stuff and leave it there. I like the thinking outside the box thing, right?
I wish the article had a picture of it. I didn't see a picture of what he actually hung there. I would have liked to have seen whether it was, you know, anything worth, you know, paying attention to, or if it was, you know,
is
like
this something that I would want to buy,
or was it a stick man? You know, like, I wonder how much it stuck
either
out.
Way. Either you know, way. But yeah, I think this is good. It's, you know, it's clever. It's like, you know, if you're going to kill your ex-wife, you should also kill her boyfriend, just like OJ Simpson did to Nicole Brown.
Cheesy news. Americans eat enough grilled cheeses each year to fill 900 Olympic swimming pools.
Americans will use anything but the metric system.
That's where you're going. Okay. Keeping our kids safe from keeping our kids safe. The British Columbia government has introduced legislation that it says will put in place 20-meter access zones from around schools to protect students from disruptive behavior, including aggressive protests. And you might be wondering, well, what protests would have spurred this on? Well, the Premier says most of the protests involved demonstrators angry about the sexual orientation and gender identity education being taught in schools.
All right. So BC just had a Supreme Court ruling that you can go to playgrounds, which are right next to schools, for example, and do hard drugs. But you can't be protesting the curriculum and all this trans woke ideology within 20 meters of it. So,
correct.
I mean, here's the thing is if you have a piece you want to say about whatever your school is doing, what you need to do is bring heroin with you. Because then they'll be like, oh, you can't be here. You can't protest here. And you'd be like, look, I'm not protesting. I'm doing drugs. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that's fine. Please continue. Like just this 20-meter safe zone around schools. Why can't we have that for hardened criminals? You know who really could have used a 20-meter safe zone? Nicole Brown.
Here's Zippy, okay? Just east of Regina, right beside White City. That's where you go. Okay. We also right. got
and Carla, that too was a belly laugh talking about the last one.
And we got some Saskatoon coming in. And yes, okay.
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Guibert. The left coast of BC at work driving. Don't worry using voice recognition to type. Oh, nice. Like there wasn't lots of room behind me. Ding face.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Did autocomplete actually make that comment? Okay. All right.
All righty then. Coyotes getting a thrashing. The NHL is preparing a contingency that could relocate the Arizona Coyotes to Utah as soon as next season. The NHL has prepared a backup option that would sell the team to Ryan and Ashley Smith, owners of the NBA's Utah Jazz, in a relocation to move them to Salt Lake City. The NHL would purchase the Coyotes from Marullo in a deal that believed to be worth around $1 billion. This would be mark the second time the NHL would have owned the Coyotes, buying the franchise from owner Jerry Moyes back in 2009 after he filed for bankruptcy. The league owned and operated them until 2013. And then the league source confirmed that after purchasing the team, the NHL would then sell the Coyotes to Smith at a price that could be as high as $1.3 billion. Can somebody just explain to me, too, as I read the story, I'm like, why wouldn't they just have the Utah Jazz buy them for $1 billion then? Like, well, why wouldn't they just walk in and do
this
that?
This is the GTH land deal all over again, but with the NHL.
With the NHL.
And also, it's funny that this guy is named Ryan Smith as well, because Ryan Smiths are basically a dime a dozen. but this is basically just them taking a little off the top, right? Oh, yeah, we're the people who make these decisions, so we're going to buy the team from you, and then we're going to sell it an hour later for $300 million more. It's just, it's scuzzy. It's greasy. But, I mean, you've got them playing in, what's it called? The Mullet Dome? The Mullet Arena?
The one in the Mullet Arena in Phoenix? Or
I mean, on the plus side, they sell out every home game. But on the downside, you can fit more people into an Astrovan.
Correct. So, they're playing in a 5,000-seat arena. And they still don't sell out every game.
Okay, well, they sold out 38 games.
They sold out 38. You got 41 home games. They can't sell it out every... They only have 5,000 tickets they need to sell. Think about that.
All right. Okay, so they sold out almost every single game.
True.
Which is pretty good. I mean, Calgary sold out like 3 games last year or something.
That's because they suck.
No, it's because it's ridiculously overpriced.
That too. And it's overpriced.
I once paid like $150 to sit against the back wall. Have you ever sat against the back wall at the Saddle Dome or Rogers Arena or wherever the hell the Raptors play or whatever it is. Like that's, that was, it's a back wall. And that was like $150.
We went with, that was the last time I in Minnesota, wife's from Minnesota, right? Twos. Mm-hmm. We went to a Minnesota Timberwolves game, right? Cause they're a decent team now. Mm-hmm. And I'm no NBA fan, but I get looking at tickets. Right. And, my wife's cousin's husband. Hope that makes sense to everybody. So we're looking at tickets and you're getting the screenshots where they are. And he's like, oh, I got great tickets. So we buy them, right? Whatever, decent price. And they were like, I don't know, $60. Doesn't matter. And we're thinking, oh, we got these great tickets. What a great view. And you could like literally touch the ceiling of the stadium because we're that high. Like we had the worst seats in the house. I needed binoculars to just like, oh yeah, there's a guy down there, you know? And then they at that point in time, they're like 13-2 at home. And that game, they got shellacked. Like NBA just drives me. Well, it's kind of like watching the Oilers in the dark days. Or maybe the Calgary Flames right now, you know, some days is just a little bit rough.
Well, I mean, on the bright side, it was probably still better than a WNBA game. Right. And I mean, they're not going to win any trophies anytime soon. Unlike OJ Simpson, who won the Heisman Trophy before it was taken away from him after he murdered his ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Show us your big jugs.
Kind I'm of actually misogynist, gonna... Sean. Why would you say that?
All right. I want to scroll in on this sucker. Okay. I don't know about twos. I've never bought a milk carton full of vodka before. Just going to throw that out there. But
it's genius. It's absolute genius. I mean, the thing about it is one of the not giant costs, but a notable cost is the bottling, right? You've got like, if you're going to buy, for example, a can of beer, unless you're getting it from a brewery that has such a big economy of scale, odds are the biggest individual cost in that is the can itself.
Yeah, but do you remember when they gave you those? What are those Manitobans? If you're listening, there's a terrible beer that is like almost a 2 liter pot bottle. Hey.
The club, like the club beer or Clover beer or whatever.
I don't know. Somebody from Manitoba's got a comment. Their big giant beer is awful beer.
Like a Colt 45 type.
A Colt 45 type thing.
Big Bear.
Could be Big Bear. It was terrible beer. So I understand the bottling or the canning process might be the most expensive. Yeah. But at the same token, when was the last time you went to the store and bought a Pilsner and decided, hey, I would take it in a 2 liter pop bottle?
I would take it in a 2 liter pop bottle. Absolutely. I wouldn't.
No.
Okay. As long as it was one of the colored ones. So here's the thing. Like, have you noticed that there's a lot more cans lately than there are bottles? A can provides a superior seal, or it's less prone to failure, and it's a lot cheaper. Okay. And this is the next step. This is the marketing and ingenuity that you want in entrepreneurs, where they say, well, I mean, that bottle's airtight. Why don't we just sell them in that for pennies and save a few dollars on the cost? And then we could pass that on to consumers and undercut the competition. This is exactly what you want. And our minister of red tape reduction is personally kiboshing this. The UCP minister of red tape reduction, Dave McNally, is saying, I don't like this because it looks like a milk jug.
He says, he says the jugs are in compliance. What it's not in compliance with is the spirit of Albertans, he told reporters Monday. We believe in responsible price. Yes.
That's the kind of thing Sarah Hoffman would say.
Listen, I want to be very clear here. T-Rex vodka. I'm not coming down on you. I go back to beer and how I buy it. You know, I just vodka. Maybe you can get away with it in a 4 liter jug. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm saying when I
Beer in a keg, you can get those mini kegs of Heineken.
The kegs are good. The keg. I tell you what, a keg is good. So maybe this is great. And I look at vodka and I go, like, I guess it just isn't my type of thing. I go to when I've had beer in a 2 liter pop bottle, it was awful. So I think there are things that can be lent to certain types. Mm. And maybe a vodka Gatorade with a milk jug. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely
here.
Brewed test batches inside bottles, old pop bottles of beer. And it has turned out, they've turned out good when they're good, and they've turned out bad when they're bad. And the bottle themselves had no reflection on that. Sean, this is the ingenuity that Western Canada is known for. And the local Conservative Party is saying, we're not
interested. I understand what you're saying. Milk bags are the logical next step, is Alan Kozak.
Glenn Gilbert, I'd buy that.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not against T-Rex the party jug. I agree with what you're saying.
You can buy a Texas Mickey. What's the difference between that and a Texas Mickey, Sean?
More expensive,
and if you drop it, you're out $700.
Well, maybe we should have a tasting test.
It's just gonna bounce
and roll. Maybe we should get a glass bottle versus the milk jug carton. I've been looking around
for these for the past few days. I can't find any.
Yeah, because I'll say this. Our government has bigger fish to fry than the party jug. Like, give me a break. I would agree with that.
All right. Thanks for agreeing with me, Sean.
Crack babies are racist. Mandatory reporting of babies born dependent on drug... Mandatory reporting of babies born dependent on a drug their birth parent was taking may be coming to an end in Massachusetts. Mass General Brigham, the state's largest hospital network, is joining Boston Medical Center in revising its policy. And now, instead of relying on an infant's blood test results, hospital staff will only report a baby to a state investigator if there's concern about an imminent risk of abuse or neglect. And then I'll read a little bit about some of the comments here. We are committed to reducing the stigma and promoting health equity, especially for those affected by substances use disorder, said a spokesperson for the Executive Office of Health and Human Services in an email. Quoted, substances exposure alone does not automatically equate to abuse and neglect, and we will continue working with the advocacy community to determine what support an individual needs and how they can best access them. Further quoted, BMC staff are directed to report suspected abuse only after a child is born and if they have concerns about the parent's ability to safely care for the child, said spokesperson David Kibbe in a statement. BMC continues to advocate for reforms to state law allow all pregnant people, I didn't even catch that the first time reading it, statewide to be treated with equity and compassion. Finally, Mass General Brigham said changing its child welfare reporting guidelines is part of a large effort to eliminate racism in the health system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically what they're saying is that all crack babies are minorities. And if you follow the set protocols for crack babies, you're disproportionately affecting minorities, and you're making the assumption that they're poor parents because the babies are born addicted to crack. And that's racist. This is the soft bigotry of low expectations, Sean, starting to get a sharp edge to it. Okay? Kind of like the one O.J. Simpson used to stab his ex-wife, Nicole Brown.
You can't take my guns when you can take my guns when you pry them from my cold, wet lake bed. All right. The organization tasked with helping
because you dropped your guns over the side of the boat in a boating accident, and now they're gone.
Whoops, they're gone. The organization tasked with helping retailers navigate the Trudeau Liberals' mandatory gun buyback says the government has bitten off far more than it can chew and is now discovering the difficulty with the sheer volume of items it may have to expropriate. Wes Winkle, president of the Canadian Sporting Arms and Ammunition Association, said the government apparently didn't anticipate that its ban on assault-style firearms involved a massive number of parts and accessories that could be captured by the buyback's plan expropriation, which will require gun owners and retailers holding inventory of those items to be compensated. That's because assault-style guns are often built by retailers and owners using any number of hundreds of different components. Quoted, it's so easy to say that this is illegal and we'll buy it back, but they took a category of firearms which is so modular in nature, Winkle said. Different parts can be fastened to different weapons that fall into the assault-style category. In other words, it's a bit like Mr. Potato Head of guns, he said.
Actually, you know what? That's a pretty good way to describe the AR. It also went on to say that he's prohibited from discussing specifics because he's working with the government on this. The bureaucracy is just growing and growing. There's as many as 30 or 35 bureaucrats from the federal government on these conference calls. And then they talked about how, I'm not looking at it right now, but they've already spent something like $42 million to get back zero guns so far. This is the tree program all over again.
Only 42 million. I think Tuesday Mashup could do a bang up job of getting a few guns back for 42 million. They all went over the boat.
I could probably find you two, maybe even three guns if you gave me $42 million. And I would be infinitely more successful than these bureaucrats.
Correct.
I doubt I could find four, but I could give you two or three.
Scott's hate crime laws. Law enforcement in Scotland has claimed that it can't cope with the staggering number of reports flooding into police stations after the controversial Hate Crime and Public Order Act of 2021 came into force last Monday, criminalizing the opaquely worded stirred up hatred towards protected groups such as the so-called LGBTQ2AIS community, among others. According to initial estimates, Police Scotland received around 8,000 complaints under the law in the first 7 days of its implementation. The broadsheet also noted that the number of supposed hate speech violations reported to the police in the first week surpassed the total number of hate crimes as a whole recorded in any full year in Scotland. The chairman of Scottish Police Federation, David Threadgold, warned that the manpower hours required to deal with such a large number of complaints will impact the police force's ability to deal with actual crimes.
He said manpower? There's another one that needs to be investigated.
With the force already failing to solve a growing number of crimes like sexual assault, shoplifting, and car theft. We don't want to solve those.
Well, we know how to solve them, but we don't want to. And look, I get the fact that in a place like Scotland, the LGBTQ thing is a big deal. I mean, they've got a century's tradition of men wearing skirts. It's a natural evolution, right? But like, what's a hate crime in Scotland? Saying you like a blended whiskey? or telling somebody that they're cut off? Like, ach, Seamus, you've had too much to drink. Go home and walk it off. Hey, I'll get you, you bastard. Hey, what is that? Is that a hate crime? Saying that sexual relations should not happen between a consenting man and a consenting sheep? Is that a hate crime? Like, where did they get 8,000 in a week? How far do you have to push things? This is insane.
Airlines are full of crap. We'll start here. Okay. The Prime Minister's No, wait. Are we going United Airlines? United Airlines?
Yeah. You could tell from the headline.
I know you got the 6 day trip. Anyways, United Airlines flight bound for Seattle had to divert to Dallas on Friday. Quoted, dog had a messy accident in the aisle right in first class. Plane diverted. Ground crew spent over 2 hours cleaning carpets with paper towels. Here's one view of it. Can we get in there? Oh yeah, we can get in there. There's where people can see. And then, following up on Boeing, Southwest Airlines flight headed to Houston was forced to make an emergency landing after an engine cover was torn off the airplane, causing damage to part of the wing. And that was a Boeing 737 airplane. Ooh. And I feel like we're starting to see a little bit of a trend. Maybe a little bit of a trend here. We've been reporting on this.
We just we're just reporting random things that happen in the news. We're not speculating on this, and neither one of us is suicidal.
Okay? Correct.
Correct. But it does seem as though Boeing, whose CEO recently stepped down, by the way, it does seem that Boeing hasn't been having a great run of things lately. Lots of bad luck for their planes and the people who have things to say about their planes.
A door came off. An engine cover came off. A whistleblower just died.
Blew his whistle. Yep. Yeah. And then a dog shits on the floor.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure that one is because of DEI initiatives, by the
way. That's United Airlines, you know? That's not Boeing, so.
United Airlines could have Boeing aircraft, right? You realize that's...
Yeah, sorry. Yes, fair. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking. You're right. Fair. BC creditors becoming moody.
Moody's? Moody's, the credit rating bureau?
Thank you.
Yeah.
British Columbia's credit rating was cut to a double A by S&P Global Ratings with a negative outlook, its third downgrade in 3 years. The firm said it may lower its rating again in the next 2 years if the province, Canada's third largest by population, maintains its current fiscal trajectory. In February, the BC government projected a record deficit of nearly $8 billion for the 24-25 fiscal year as it unveiled plans to accelerate spending on infrastructure, healthcare, and education ahead of provincial elections that's currently scheduled for October 19th. Quote, BC's budgetary performance will be the weakest of its peers, both domestically and internationally.
Yes. So, in a nutshell, they're spending too much money. They don't have their priorities figured out, and as a result, their credit rating gets downgraded, which means they have a higher interest rate, which means that their finances are even worse. And Moody's said, if you guys don't start slashing some stuff, this is going to happen again. Like, honestly, if I was them, I would try and get somebody like O.J. Simpson, who killed his girlfriend, Nicole Brown, to do some slashing. But they can't because he's dead and now back together with her.
You're not the father, I think. A Canadian DNA laboratory knowingly delivered prenatal paternity test results. I'm going to pull it up just so people can. I want people to see. Here we go. There you go.
Like Jack Frost from that weird cartoon from 10 years ago.
I'll start again. A Canadian DNA laboratory knowingly delivered prenatal paternity test results that routinely identified the wrong biological fathers, ruling out the real dads, and left a trail of shattered lives around the globe. Harvey Tenenbaum, the one in the picture, the owner of ViaGuard Acumetrics, told a CBC producer with a hidden camera during a conversation in his office that prenatal paternity test results that his laboratory produced for about a decade were never that accurate. The test was not that accurate, and we're leery of that test now, said Tenenbaum.
Yeah, so they've just been throwing out faulty, random coin flip paternity tests all over the place. I don't know if you read through the whole article, but there's a woman who worked there in reception for a year, and she was instructed to get as much details from the women as possible about their ovarian cycles and what partners they were with at what time, so that they could just look at a calendar and say, okay, well, it's got to be that dude. That's literally how they did their tests. And you've got this long line of stories, absolute horror stories of everything you could imagine going wrong with this. Paternity stuff, people leaving the person that they're wanting to be with to go with the other person because they think it's the father, and then it ends up going in another direction. And like, worst of all, there's a guy who's got a tattoo of Travis on his arm, and then he found out later on that Travis was another dude's kid. And then he changed the tattoo to say Travis T. And all of this happened because that guy had these crapshoots of paternity tests. Like, I wonder if this was the basis that we built the COVID tests on, really. Did we look at this and be like, this is a pretty good business model? Let's just shut down entire industries based on random coin flip tests.
Tomb Raider gets buried. Well, hold on, all you Tomb Raider fans. British adventurer Lara Croft will transition from being a raider of tombs to a seeker of truth. Okay, quoted. Raiding, as depicted in the original Tomb Raider games and stories, involved going to ancient tombs and historical sites of different civilizations and acquiring artifacts. It operates on the assumption of finders keepers that grants raiders with the means and the drive to claim ownership of artifacts, regardless of whether they have any historical or cultural claim to the treasure. Later, this is still quoted, games released in the franchise have started the work of addressing this by having Lara Croft acknowledge her past mistakes and try to understand how show respect for the cultures and communities she comes into contact with. She has also worked to reform raider culture and raise the awareness of her peers.
Yeah, so basically in this new video game, every time you press L1, Lara Croft's going to do a land acknowledgement. It's pretty silly. And if she wants to get down to the secrets of this, if she wants to unravel all of the truth, Sean, those pyramid boobs, they're the Illuminati. That's the sign of the Illuminati right there. That same pyramid that's on the $1 bill, the US $1 bill, there it is right there. Illuminati. This whole thing's Illuminati. There, I saved you the trouble of finding the secrets. Lara Croft's big triangle boobs.
You know, you prepare and you prepare for the mashup, and then somehow Twos brings in the Illuminati with Lara Croft's pyramid boobs. What year would that game have been? That had to have been what, PS2?
96, something like that.
PS2? Oh,
that's way before.
PS1?
PC. I don't know what consoles it came out on.
All right. In-flight catering 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Now, before we get started, folks, you may be thinking to yourselves, I've heard this story before. Maybe you heard it in 2019. Maybe you heard it in 2022 or 2023. The sequels keep coming. This is the Fast and Furious of liberal spending.
The Prime Minister's six-day trip accompanied by his son to strengthen ties in the Indo-Pacific region in September cost taxpayers nearly $2 million, with nearly $200,000 spent on in-flight catering. Costs for the trip included $190,000 in flight catering, $643,000 for aircraft handling and fuel fees, $422,000 for lodging, $129,000 for ground transportation, and $427,000 for RCMP security costs. This was a six-day trip.
$2 million, 6 days, a little over $300,000 a day. I'm pretty sure you could buy just a Zoom subscription for life. Like, if you went to Zoom and said, I will give you $2 million, how much Zoom can you give me? They would say all of it, as much as you want, forever. How many more times are we going to spend 200 grand on in-flight fucking catering for pretentious assholes? Buy a fucking sandwich at the Max kiosk next to your fucking loading gate. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. Heck, they don't eat, like,
pretzels. We get pretzels.
Do you even get pretzels anymore? I don't even know.
I don't know.
You don't even get a full can. You go, can I have a glass of water? And they give you like this little tiny glass. They don't give you the bottle, right? They give it here. Ask they must it. Just like, they just must like.
You just ask for it.
You ask for it?
Yeah.
Hey, can I have the?
Well, not the big one.
Well, that's like, what they pour at them. They have one, like 1.5 liter, and they pour in those little cups.
But like, if you're getting, I don't know, if you're buying a bunch of whiskeys and you ask for a little bit of water and some Coke or something like that, then you could just ask for them to leave the bottle. Or like, sure. If you're ever flying Air Alaska, they've got the big beer bottles, like what you're talking about for water, but for beer. And then the difference being is that it's pretty easy to drink one of those if it's not water. And so you could just be like, hey, do you mind just leaving that here? And they're like, sure. Yeah, it's wonderful. You should fly Air Alaska.
Anyways, Trudeau spending a crap ton of money on a plane again.
And none of this is like, do we even cover this? Do we even talk about this anymore? Yeah, do we care? It just keeps happening and happening. Like the allegations of physical abuse before O.J. Simpson murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown.
Nature is healing. West Virginia's treasurer announced that he is restricting four financial services firms from providing state banking services because he says they boycott the fossil fuels industry. Just going to pause here for a second so that you can catch up to what I just said, because that I feel like up to this point in human history, over the last like 4 years, everything has been anti-fossil fuels twos. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Citigroup, Toronto Dominion Bank, Northern Trust Corp, and HSBC Holdings PLC have been added to a list of companies the state treasurer Riley Moore's office determined engage in such boycotts based on a review of each institution's environmental, social, and governance policies and public statements. The financial firms will now be ineligible to provide banking services to the states, to the state. Quoted, "We cannot allow institutions that seek to destroy our state's critical energy industries and the economic activity they generate to also profit from handling the very taxpayer dollars they seek to diminish." As part of the 2022 GOP law, the state treasurer developed a list of financial institutions that have publicly stated they will refuse, terminate, or limit doing business with coal, oil, or natural gas companies without a reasonable business purpose, according to the statement. There are now 9 financial service companies on the state list, including BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Chase & Co., Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo. So there you go. There's the list of financial institutions.
This is the pendulum swinging the other way. How many people have told you you're crazy for saying that this whole ESG thing, the DEI stuff, can't feasibly be anything more than a flash in the pan, because eventually the rubber's going to meet the road? And this is where it's finally happening, where you've got West Virginia. Like, take me home, country roads, am I right? Why is there no East Virginia?
I don't know. Do we got any Americans that can tell us? Why is there no East Virginia? Somewhere Vance Crowe is going to listen to this. Vance, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to a whole bunch of you. Why is there no East Virginia? I don't know.
Okay. Also here, you got Zane Southgate. By the way, your dad was awesome on the Blue Collar Roundtable.
Yes, he was.
Dude, just make sure you have a grasp on that bottle when the side of the Alaska Airlines plane evaporates. I feel like Alaska Airlines isn't really the kind to get into too much DEI. When you got to land in a blinding snowstorm and ground levels minus 50. One time I flew into Anchorage and it was like this 16-seater plane, and they had the drape going across to the front. Like, you know, how big planes, they've got that locked thing, so you can't go in there and crash into buildings or whatever. But this plane just had a drape and they didn't bother to close the drape. And I'm looking, and the plane's just going like this. And I see the lights on the runway just going in and out of view in the window. And I'm like, all right, well, this might be cool.
And then Tuz poured himself another whiskey with his big giant bottle of water and his Coke there and just carried on with life. He's like,
well, I feel like they're going to be very uncompromising as far as safety standards go. But I could be wrong.
Speaking of Brian, his dad, he's going to be in attendance on April 27th. Sitting at Drew McKay AMC Electricals table. So that should be an interesting, well, there's going to be a lot of interesting people there, folks. April 27th. We'll get to that. Okay. The great one. Okay.
Oh, okay. This is wonderful.
Okay. Here we go.
And seeing where the puck is going, talk about a great Edmonton Oiler who did a very good job of that for many years. I know we're not going to get into any Oilers fans here, the Canadian genius is to go where the puck is going, not where it is right now. The world is changing, and Albertans can and should be at the forefront of that. And that's exactly where I'm going to be always, with an outreached hand and partnership to build it.
I'll tell you what, Justin, you want to know where the puck is going? It's going straight up your ass.
A few years ago, I was in Hamilton in a classic steel plant, and I was meeting, some of those overalled folks who...
Overalled folks. Like, this is him holding a hammer. All these happened in the same week. The first two clips happened in the same fucking sitting, okay? This guy has no idea what's going on. I mean, like, just he doesn't even know what direction to hold a hammer in. Like, If O.J. Simpson had held the knife this way, Nicole Brown might still be alive.
Where do we even begin?
Comparing him to Wayne Gretzky is probably good because, you know, both of them are scared of a fight.
Come on, man. Wayne Gretzky.
And they do a good job of making other people look good.
Wayne Gretzky held 61 records when he retired from the NHL. Some of his records, the top 10, okay, for like most points in a season and goals and all this, in the top 10, he's like 40% of the candidates are him or people who played on his line or bloody team. Like, he just holds these records that will never be touched. Majority of them.
Hey, all right.
Justin Trudeau on the other side holds some records that probably will never be touched, just not in the greatest light, right?
Yeah.
And so he's going to where he's going is down the toilet.
Yeah.
It's laughable. He made that it's almost like, what do you even say? He compared himself to the greatest hockey player of all time. We can get into debates about that, but Gretzky's certainly in the conversation. Trudeau in the realm of prime ministers is in a debate on the complete opposite end, in the deep end.
Who would you compare him to? I'm thinking somebody like Brett Hull, because his dad was Bobby Hull, but like if Brett Hull had an absolute shit career and never accomplished a damn thing, right? Rather than, you know, getting off to a decent start with the Flames and then moving on to other things before playing for the U.S. Olympic team, right? But like you think like actually, you know what? That doesn't even work either. Who was a shitty NHL player that had a shittier kid?
I don't know. That's a great question. I have no idea.
Who is the worst person to have ever played in the NHL?
Well, worst, like you just drove you nuts. Like the guy who comes to mind is Sean Avery. Sean Avery was like, can we get this guy out of the NHL already? But he hasn't had a kid go play in it. So
yeah. Well, he's probably got a few running around.
Probably.
Worst NHL player ever. William Robert Mickelson is a Canadian former professional ice hockey defenseman who played in the NHL from 71 to 77. He's known for posting the worst plus minus rating in a single season.
Does he have a son?
Minus 82.
Does he have a son?
For the Capitals, it's minus 82. I could play in the NHL, and I don't think I'd get minus 82.
Yeah, you'd get minus 82. Don't kid yourself, Tews. Don't kid yourself.
All right. Okay. We got to.
Anyone could have played with Gretzky and put up points, or anyone could play with Sidney Crosby. Tews probably couldn't, folks. Probably couldn't.
I'm pretty sure I could play with either or both of them and put up points.
You know what we should do? We should have a Tuesday mashup. Well, not a Tuesday mashup now. It's mashup. Mm-hmm. Mashup team. Team Newman versus Team Twos. Have a little. Like,
you're going to put together your best hockey team, and I'm going to put together my best football team, and we're somehow going to come up with a scoring system.
And we're going to raise some money. Hey, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? Bring on some. See if we couldn't lure some people to an undisclosed location. Have a little bit of fun
with QDM.
Yes,
and I was like,
QDM would be great, man.
But I was specifically, next year, we need to get together and do a bond spiel or two.
Oh, curling. Great. Don't.
Yes.
We can also have a team Newman versus a team QDM versus a team Twos and tack a few others there. And I'm going to need some help here, folks. So if you're a great curler, I need you reaching out to me ASAP because I can't do anything.
If you suck at curling, I need you to reach out to Sean. Actually, no. If you're good.
I like this idea. I like a general. We could have a mashup fundraiser of sorts to have a little bit of fun. I think that'd be a ton of fun.
Spiel? Could we do our own bond spiel?
Why couldn't we? Why can't we do the mashup bond spiel? It doesn't have to be. We could pick a central location in a small town that probably needs a hotel, though. Probably needs somewhere where people can stay. I'm gonna probably stipulate that as a could be in Alberta. And then see if we couldn't line up a bunch of different people there. How much fun would that be? We'd probably do that this fall too.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I don't think we have to wait a year. We could probably do that in 2024. I don't know. Yeah. What do I'm curious.
I don't know.
What
would anybody be interested in going to Mashpeel?
Mashpeel. Mm. I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
All right.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Happy news times two. This. I have no idea what your happy news is. I don't think you had a post.
What do you mean you have? Oh, I might not put it up there.
You didn't put it up. You didn't put it up, folks.
Shoot. Because it was one of the first things I came across, and so I already had it in my tabs, and I didn't think to add it later
Mashup.
On. All right. So,
okay, let's hear it.
Pompeii. You know, buried in volcanic eruption.
Sure.
Still, lots of it hasn't been unearthed yet. Okay? But they're getting around to a lot of it, and they just made another big discovery of some really cool rooms that depict a bunch of actual mythology stories, right? And so they just unveiled these. Like, this is fairly recent. Like literally just in the next day or the last day or two. And I know I was there,
and
I don't
Tuz,
know, 15
can you
years
zoom
ago?
In on that for the people watching and for me trying to see what you're seeing? Can you zoom in on what you're talking about?
I'm in the wrong tab here. One sec. All right. So there's that. I think there's a closer picture if you want to look at his.
Oh, pepper. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So these were buried in volcanic ash for thousands of years. Yeah. Yeah. There's a.
Oh, there. Look at that.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that cute little hammer. All right. And then there's boobs. Yeah. 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 This is definitely. So, I mean, it's a cool place. Like you can go. Here's me. In one of their root cellars or something like that in Pompeii. I don't know, 2008, I think.
What did you think of Pompeii?
Oh, it was amazing. It was phenomenal. I loved it. And then the other happy news. I don't know if you ever saw this, Sean. This is a raccoon riding a grain auger. And he just keeps running back in. He just keeps running back in. He's doing another lap.
Where is this?
It's a farm.
No, I realize it's a farm. Where is the farm, you jackass?
All right. Some account, I don't know, possibly Hisar, Alberta, or maybe he just found it. I don't know where Hisar is.
That's awesome. That's
so anyways, that's our two happy things. Major archaeological discovery in Italy, and then a raccoon riding a grain auger.
Sweet. That's pretty sweet. I'm all right. Mashup 102, folks.
Community notes.
I've realized. Okay, let's here. We'll see if I
okay,
can.
Okay, I'll get going on mine. I got one right here. Alberta pension plan event. You've got Fort McLeod tonight.
Okay, Friday so night
if you're
Fort McLeod.
In the morning, it's already too late. Pincher Creek, Saturday, April 13th.
Who's speaking there?
You have Tanner Nede. I don't know if you know anything about him or not. He's
I do.
An economist.
I do. He's running. He just did one in Lloyd.
I know.
I know you. Yeah. Anyways.
And Nadine Wellwood, who's a chartered investment manager.
Well, speaking of Tanner today, on April 28th, not the 27th, we're doing a Sunday service. Tanner today is going to be speaking there. Joshua Allen of Cowboy Preacher is going to be speaking there, and Cam Milliken. That's at the Moose Lodge in Lloydminster, and it's free for everyone, family friendly. We got Shrine Christian Academy here in Lloydminster. We're going to be doing some activities for the kids downstairs, and it's going to be a miniature SMP Presents, if you would, twos. That's on Sunday morning, April 28th. So Tanner Nede making some headlines here, and of course,
sold out on the day before yet.
And then, of course, we have the Cornerstone Forum happening on April 27th. And here's the cool thing about it, okay? We had one ticket left, then we sold out. Then we got talking with some people, and we found a way to find an additional 7 tickets. So we have 7 tickets left. So if you're sitting there going, I haven't got my ticket yet.
Sold out, but 7 more that were lately released.
Correct. You betcha. Right. And also another cool thing, Mikkel Thorup, okay, was supposed to be coming. So he had his third kid. And so then it kind of backed off. Mikkel Thorup wasn't coming. So we had a Dave Bradley from Calgary. He was just on the podcast, Bitcoiner, Bitcoin Rodeo, a whole bunch of things there. And then Mikkel Thorup reached back out and said, I'm going to make it. So now we have an additional speaker as well. So that is all day Saturday on April 27th. There is still 7 tickets available if you're interested. And once again, you talk about the people on stage is going to be a ton of fun. You know, you got Curtis Stone and Chuck Prodnick and Tom Luongo, Alex Craner, Mikkel Thorup,
Chris Sims,
Dave Bradley now, and then virtual guest Martin Armstrong. But in the audience, some people that are coming include Sir Twos, and that might, as Drew McKay say, steer more people away than bring them.
Well, it'll open up the 7 tickets for somebody else, I guess.
Drew Weatherhead from The Social Disorder, Leighton Gray. You got people from Bow Valley Credit Union going to be there. You got people from Silver Gold Bowl going to be there. You got people coming in from Saskatoon, business owners, a few key people there that I think will be very interesting. Brian Southgate, who is on the Blue Collar Roundtable, is going to be in attendance.
Is he going to be on and on it goes. Everybody up in the parking lot?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't know about Bow Valley. I'm actually in the process of getting everything set up so I can move all my stuff over there right now. So,
well, there you go. It's going to be an interesting day. Shelby Boyd, actually, is another one who's been on the podcast, homeschooler. She's going to be in attendance. So there's a lot going on April 27th. If you're in and around Lloydminster, there's still 7 tickets left. If you're not, Sunday morning, there's a free event at Moose Lodge, 9 a.m. You can come be there. Donations accepted. We're going to donate the money somewhere. And we'd love to see everybody in Lloydminster around that area on that weekend. So that's going to be an exciting couple of days.
If you're not one of the 7 people and you have that day free, you can go to Drumheller and say, how the Drumheller are you doing? Dress up as a dinosaur.
And send us a picture.
Dinosaur thing on the day of the S&P Presents.
I would love nothing more than to have a whole bunch of people, if they can't make it to Lloyd, go there and send us some pictures. Shoot me some texts of you being in Drumheller dressed up as a giant dinosaur trying to break the record. It's just bad luck, too, is that we can't be there.
It is. I hope that they do, and then Dundurn tries to step it up, and it ends up being this like ongoing back and forth.
I agree. Okay. Tonight, if you are in around Lloydminster, yes, I should bring up Linda Blade and April Hutchinson are live at the Kinsman Hall at 7 p.m. If you're looking for information, go to For the Kids' Sake. Those two ladies going to be in Lloydminster tonight. Just saying. And is Zane from Southgate saying, is the longest hockey game in Chestermere noted, running currently April 5th to 16th? I don't think we've brought that up, have we?
I hadn't heard about it yet. I guess it's still going for a few more days. I don't know. Everything I know about it is contained in what you just read out loud. Chestermere is having a hockey game, I guess.
Clunker Dunker. As of right now, don't think it had gone through. I know the back tire was getting off and low. Every day that it gets warmer, it's close to, if you're wanting to win some money.
It's not just a clunk. It's gradually seeping downwards.
ClunkerDunker.com. Clunker with a K, ClunkerDunker.com. Go spend some money, support local community here, Kid Scotty, and possibly win a big pot. It was like 10 grand last time I checked.
Ooh.
So the number is up there. All right. Anything else, Jews, before we get out of here?
Taylor says she was in Dundurn, so good for you. We didn't hear about it till after the fact, but we were pretty disappointed. But that's it.
All right. 102 folks in the books. Thanks for joining us. We hope we'll see you at 103. For those wondering, I'm going to say this one more time because we have changed times. 10 a.m. Fridays, we're live streaming on X, Facebook, Rumble,
and YouTube.
And if you want to follow along with us, come find it there. Otherwise, it airs on the podcast as soon as we get her downloaded and fired up. So yeah. Thanks for joining us.
If you hate the Oilers, definitely say so in the comments.
We'll catch up to you next week, folks.
Thanks, guys.